Cesare Warren is an assistant professor in the Department of Teacher Education at Michigan State University and president of the Critical Race Studies in Education Association. This is the Harvard EdCast. Okay, so Professor Warren, walk us through the whole process of this book coming about. You are a founding teacher at Urban Prep, now an assistant professor at Michigan State University, writing a book called Urban Preparation. How does that process, how do you go from Urban Prep to now a book called Urban Preparation?
Good question. Thank you for having me this morning. I think the seeds for the book were planted over 10 years ago when I joined the faculty at Urban Prep to imagine a school for black boys on the south side of Chicago that would really position them to for post-secondary success. And for us, we defined, the school's founder and the founding faculty, we defined post-secondary success as not only going to college and being accepted, but also enrolling and completing college. So that was the mission 10 years ago, and I was a part of the team that imagined this school from the standpoint of what we wanted the school culture to look like, what values we wanted the young men to adopt and internalize. So I helped write the creed, and I was a part of the team to think about what was the math curriculum. I was the math teacher. So what was the math curriculum going to look like over 4 years? And I ended up working at Urban Prep for a year and left for some other opportunities. And 10 years later, we have now witnessed a school that for 7 years have celebrated 100% of their graduates getting accepted to college. But part of what now 10 years later led me to want to write this book is my work as a researcher centered on understanding the factors that support the high academic outcomes for young black men and boys. And so this school has had so much attention in the mainstream, and I thought it would be really cool and really important to know, beyond the 100% acceptance, what role and function has Urban Prep played in these young men's college persistence and retention? And we don't have any research that really digs into that, primarily from the perspective of the young men who attended this school. So the benefit that I have, having been a founding teacher at Urban Prep, was that these young men who are in this book are young men that I taught as when they were freshmen. And from a distance, I've been able to sort of see their journey sort of unfold. But when I left, the advent of social media and Facebook has allowed me to sort of keep in touch. But we don't know very much about the factors that sort of have determined their educational trajectories to and through college. And so this work is about naming those factors inside and outside of school and naming those factors from their perspective, and not only what the factors were, but also how they describe the significance of those factors for shaping their journeys. And that's where this book comes from. And so Urban Preparation is not just about Urban Prep per se. These young men come from Urban Prep, but it's about the inside and outside of school factors. Growing up on the South Side has had a significant influence and impact on these young men's journeys to and through college, and I wanted to be able to name the ecology of people, moments, incidences, experiences that these young men really found to be important to their journeys. And so Urban Preparation sort of captures that in narrative form.
What's really interesting about this book is that you really paint a portrait of the school itself, and you talk about all elements of it, from the leaders, the teachers, the professional staff. Give us a little bit of context of that portrait of what are the circumstances, what are the challenges, what are the conditions for these students, a little bit more about this school. And then obviously we want people to buy and read the book, but what are some of the factors that are actually this part of the secret sauce to 100% acceptance rate?
So, I think one thing I should say up front is that the book, the story that I tell about these young men from their perspective is what in critical race theory we call a counter story. And with the counter-story, we know that there are persistent images about and social constructions of young black men and boys as anti-intellectual, as hyper-deviant, as we criminalize black boys in this society, and we generally, the public imagination of black boys is generally very negative. And so this counter-story is my attempt to humanize them through their voices and the stories that they tell to really discern what it is that has helped them to travel to and through college. Now, the thing about urban prep that's significant that should be made known is that before these young men, they would say, before they went to urban prep as middle schoolers, trying to find a high school, and their families trying to find a high school for them, they would say college was not really something that they imagined themselves being able to achieve. Going to college is something that they achieve because they didn't have very many models, they would say, for college going. And so this school was really important for helping them to imagine themselves as college going and college ready. And if I had to point out one factor that was significant in them getting not only accepted to college, but getting into college, enrolling and completing, they had very strong academic self-efficacy. Every single day that they were at Urban Prep, they spoke to themselves and affirmed themselves. They would say, I'm exceptional not because I say it, but because I work hard at it. There's this way about the school in terms of really lifting up and affirming young black men that really made a difference. The school's moniker is We Believe. And Tim King would say, either you do or you don't believe, right? And that really was something that was important because by the time they got to the end of their high school career, they really did believe that they could go to college and be successful. And that stands out as something really important. Sort of a contrasting point to that, though, is that there's evidence in their narratives, but also in publicly available data, that their academic preparation was not where it necessarily needed to be for them to go into college and really get a good start in terms of their academic preparation. So there was some disconnect between their college readiness from the perspective that they had the skills to really engage with a really rigorous academic environment. Other factors that contributed would have to be their social networks. They developed very strong relationships with their teachers. In that first couple years, most of their teachers were black men, and they talk about how those teachers stood out to them as important role models for them, and part of their being role models was that they really internalized much of the advice and messaging around college going that these men were espousing. Sort of a drawback that I kind of talk about in the book is also troubling conceptions of manhood and masculinity that do not appreciate and lift up multiple diverse forms of black manhood and masculinity. And I'm thinking about young men who identify as LGBTQ or young men who might be gender nonconforming, finding their place in an academic environment that had a fairly standard code and norm for what it meant to be a man. That wasn't necessarily explicitly spoken, but the messaging was all throughout the school in the ways that the school is organized and the types of interactions that the teachers had with the young men. And I'll sort of say lastly, part of the relationships, this shows up as really important because these networks are networks that they leaned on as they went into college when they were finding difficulties staying in school, whether it was finance, personal setbacks with family. They leaned on their teachers and adults from Urban Prep to really support their matriculation through college. But while at the same time, what I'm thinking about in the book quite a bit is how it is that we internalize, that the young men internalize fairly liberal notions of success that don't appreciate the cultural capital and community cultural wealth that they bring to school with them as an important sort of character traits and values and competencies that also, in addition to the sorts of conversations that they were having with folks at school, were important to their college persistence. So I trouble quite a bit in the book around the role of a black education institution, not just setting its students up for success in terms of going to college, but also creating a space where where they get to imagine the future different from the one that they, the present lives that they live, and the role of the education institution for supporting these young men as they think about what their contribution to society should be beyond just going away to college.
We have a lot of educators, a lot of parents, a lot of teachers who listen to this podcast, and I'm wondering what you think when they're done listening to this podcast today with you, in addition to going out and buying your book, what can they do to set up a school that may be similar to Urban Prep, that may be able to help them in the immediate aftermath of listening to this podcast, where they can go in tomorrow, they can do some simple tweaks, some simple interventions, some simple ideas, some have some conversations where they can bring their school more in the right direction of doing their best for children?
I think in as it relates to young black men and boys, there needs to be, we have to acknowledge, first of all, that we live in an anti-black racist society, and part of what that means is that there are lots of messages, both explicit and implicit, around the inferiority of young black men and boys and black people in particular. And so I think school leaders and educators need to acknowledge the fact that anti-blackness is an actual thing, and that part of what that means is that black folks, from the time that we arrived to the States, were considered less than human. We arrived here as property. And because of that, education institutions in some ways have been imagined in ways that limit the educator's sort of purview of really thinking about the inherent brilliance and possibility of black youth, especially those who come from urban environments that are characterized as, you know, high density, economically disenfranchised communities of color. So I think conversations about race and foregrounding those conversations and really acknowledging the ways that society sort of paints this really nasty picture of young black men and boys is important, and using that frame to then create education practice and policy that directly lifts up and affirms and builds up young black men and boys explicitly. I think one really concrete way to do that is to regularly, every day, work with young people to write their own creed of affirmations and give them space to say those affirmations. Celebrate young people's success every single day. They need space, and there's lots of research to sort of support this claim that young black folks, boys and girls, need spaces where they are in conversation with other young black men and boys, where they're also in conversation with older black men, where these affinity spaces are important to not only find affirmation, but also to cultivate and build the sort of networks and exposure to what they can become that really sort of catalyzes how they see school in terms of its relevance and its utility for creating the life that they want. I think that it's also important that we not project on, I talk about this in chapter 6, that building relationships has to be a priority, but also developing a school culture where young people are regularly celebrated is important. And also then talking through notions of success that align with where the young folks are, and not sort of projecting onto them what it means to be successful, but to co-construct visions of success that they can use and that they can adopt and sit with and be really engaged in sort of discerning where they want to go. And the role of the institution is just to facilitate how it is they come to think about their role in this society, not necessarily to tell them how to dress, act, speak, so that they fit into a society when we know that the society has historically seen them as not fully human.
Yeah, wow. A true sense of co-constructing self. Last question, Professor Warren. You talked about building relationships, and you were as a founding teacher 10 years ago. Obviously, you've kept in touch with your students. Which relationship have you found to be most surprising, most fulfilling, most exciting 10 years later, and you're seeing a trajectory of a student that you meet as a founding teacher in high school to now 10 years later writing about this in a book process? Talk about that relationship, that relational side that you've had almost less professionally and more personally, that these are people that you care about, that you've got to see kind of grow up and do good in the world.
I mean, there is no, you know, I tell folks all the time, being a teacher really is the best job ever. And part of that is recognizing that, you know, when you are with a young person, the best work you can do is plant seeds, but you don't know where those seeds will fall, whether they'll germinate, how these young people will grow. And we all have a responsibility to either, you know, to add to their lives in really valuable ways. And so it's really fantastic to see how these young men have grown. And I think most importantly, it's been really cool just to see them make decisions about the type of men that they want to be. And part of their participation in this project and us having these conversations about their journeys to and through college has been them reflecting on, well, what has really mattered to me and what hasn't mattered, and how can I then, they're thinking a lot about what can I do to help the next generation and those who come behind me. And I think that is the greatest gift, when you can pass it on. They've had a lot of people pour into them, and they are very much centered and focused on each of them doing something with their careers where they're thinking a lot about, what can I do to help the people behind me? And I think that that is the legacy that any educator wants to leave. When you do something and you're supporting a young person, and then years later you see them doing the same thing for other young people, that is how a legacy is sort of replicated and grows. So I think that that's been the greatest thing, sort of seeing them grow into the men that they want to become, you know, not necessarily where they want to be, but working towards getting there, and then also pouring into other young men behind them.
The name of the book is Urban Preparation, Young Black Men Moving from Chicago's South Side to Success in Higher Education. You've been listening to Professor Cesare Warren, who is the assistant professor in the Department of Teacher Education at Michigan State University. Professor Warren, thank you so much for making time for the EdCast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
This has been the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. I'm your host, Matt Weber. Thank you kindly for listening.